Hey, grandkids, welcome to Open Number 5. As Ken just whispered in my ear, this is the all-science edition, evidently, of...
You bastard, that was just meant for you. You're sharing my secrets with the world. My whispers.
Yes, well, you may whisper, but your dog snorts. So if you hear some weird noises, it's a pug. My dogs are usually passed out when we're doing this, but Preston is wide awake here.
Yeah, he is curious about what's going on here, I think. You know, who can blame him? Yeah, we're at my house this evening. This is our first OPA down this way, I believe.
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah. It took us to number 5, but we got down here, and yeah, we're just hanging out down here in Ken's den and
oh, Jesus.
Recording a podcast.
Oh, I feel more gay for you having said that. But speaking of dens, you sent me 2 different articles about a creature that does prefer to have a den of sorts. It could be in a cave, more likely would be the description of it, but... it has a similar feeling to a den.
No, that's a really good segue. That's a top-notch segue.
Top-notch. I had no idea that octopi were as freaky as they evidently really are.
Yeah. I didn't realize that either. Like, you just sort of imagine... something with 8 legs that you draw on, you know, your notebook as a kid or something, but then to actually, like, you know, see them move around and well, the one article that we had read and linked there is dealing with octopus intelligence, and it is amazing to see how intelligent that scientists actually think they are, like up there with dogs. Sorry, Preston.
Yeah, no, yeah, that was pretty crazy. For an invertebrate, it had like a walnut-sized brain, and they just said that it is somewhat large for that size of a creature.
But then also that a lot of its neurons are actually not located in its brain. It has all these neurons in its individual arms. So, you know what I was thinking of was Dr. Octopus from the movie Spider-Man, because he invented, you know, Dr. Octavius, you know, of course, everyone knows, but I'll say it again, in case anyone's forgotten. And Jeremy, please let us know if I get anything wrong. Dr. Octopus, at least in the movie, he invents this, you know, contraption, and I'm not sure what his real point idea was to do with this thing. I mean, originally it was not to become a supervillain, but
he was developing it for something other than soup and supervillainry.
A soup and villainry. Yeah, he was going to open up a soup and villainry outside of New York. Upstate New York.
Super villainry, you jackass.
Well, that's what I was saying. I couldn't imagine anything other than any other reason to build what he did other than to become a supervillain. Because it was like its own artificial intelligence that was these. Well, he didn't have 8 arms, though, does he? Or did he? I feel like it was less than 8. Because he already has some arms, right? So maybe he's only an extra 4.
Yeah.
Oh,
I,
God. Did you bring the comic book reference?
No, I did not bring it. I did not bring it at all. And I did, because I didn't know we were going to be talking about Dr. Octopus. So, no, as far as I remember from the comics back in the day, it only had 4 arms, and he counted 2 arms, so it only had 6 arms.
Well, what about his legs, though? I'm saying they count, too.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense then. That's why you'd only do the 4 mechanical arms.
That's what I was thinking. Okay.
Oh, wow. That's a little bit deeper than I guess I thought.
We're cracking the code on this. All things octopus related.
It's the first time anybody's ever discussed this.
In the history of the world. It's the first time. So, yeah. Anyway, these extra arms, robotic arms, that he was putting on himself had their own intelligence. And that's basically what they're seeing with these octopus, because their brains, I guess, are kind of equally distributed throughout their arms. So, like, one thing I always think about is, like, if we were ever to meet an alien, like, how would we communicate with them? And, Preston's really intent on my story. Wait, let's see if we can hear him. Oh, barely. Yeah, he's registering on the mic. Okay.
Yeah, I hope you guys liked our indulgence there.
Everyone got a little taste of what we can hear. But, so yeah, they're saying that their brains are kind of distributed in their arms. So, like, they may sort of give, like, a general idea of what they want to do, like, run away. Like, their brain may send that signal. But then kind of each arm decides how it's going to do that. So, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, well, and I...
Yeah, and, well, I guess that my thinking for aliens is, like, okay, this is a creature that's on this planet, like, that evolved here. Like, we are very much related to octopus in the general scheme of things. Like, if you think about some creature from an alien planet that would be have evolved in a completely different environment, like, I just don't think there's any way we're ever gonna, I mean, at this point, we're not able to gonna be able to communicate with any kind of aliens anytime soon. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I agree. If they're out there, communication is not happening before we're in the ground.
Yeah. Because, yeah, with these octopus, they are saying that they're intelligent, but it's like such a different kind of intelligence than what we have, because it basically, it developed separately from the kind of intelligence that we have. So, like, basically there was two, we broke off evolutionary, like, I don't know, 300 million years ago, I think they said.
It might have been 5 to 7, actually.
Yeah, hundreds of millions of years ago. And at that point, all the animals that there were so simple that there was no intelligence. So, both us, or, you know, our branch of intelligence, I guess we'd include you, Preston, in that branch of intelligence, right?
Yeah, but dogs and cats are in that.
But the octopuses are on a completely different branch of intelligence that they evolved separately from all the other kind of animals that we're familiar with. So, they're really hard to kind of understand. But in the article, they were talking about the scientists who did research, and they could tell that the octopus would recognize individual people.
Yeah, they because they talked to some people, or it was a I'd like to. Oh crap! I could pull up the university. Because there was a university that had been doing the studies on them, and that's what I'm trying to think, because that's where this woman went to research the article, and I'm trying to think, but they did an experiment where they dressed two different people in the same outfits, and they had the same general size, and they had the one person be nice to it, and one person poke it with the stick to agitate it. So it started recognizing, even though they continued to dress them in the same manner and they look somewhat alike, it kept on noticing the one that always poked it with a stick even after it ceased poking it with the stick. Like, even to the point where it was spraying water at it water at that woman sometimes.
Right. Yeah, it would spray water at the one, and it would come up to the one who had been feeding it every time. So, you know, they're able to recognize people. But they're so, like, what they said that, you know, like, our intelligence basically came about from dealing with other people, basically, and learning social interactions. And that's basically, you know, how we became intelligent, because we had to figure out what other people were thinking and try to understand what's going on.
But
what were you going to say?
No, go ahead.
But the octopus are totally solitary. Like, they're never around another octopus, basically, their whole life.
Oh, and that was just, like, when I think of octopus, like, I guess I only think of, like, 20 Leagues Under the Sea, that kind of 20, thing.
20,000 Leagues?
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Yeah, yeah.
That was a squid, you dick.
Well, okay, then.
I'm pretty sure that's a giant squid. We might have to get Jeremy on the horn and figure
out. I am just fucking the whole day up. Well, I don't ever, what was I going to say? Like, I guess there were so many dimensions to an octopus. Like, I guess it always gets put into this kind of killer mode, like, when I see an octopus, it's, like, on a sci-fi movie, or even just in general, where it's just, like,
just a monster.
Yeah, it's kind of a monster of some sort, you know, like the sea creature back when everyone was sailing in wooden ships. So, you know, I guess that's the way I always thought about it. I never thought about it as, like, this little creature that is somewhat defenseless in some ways and has evolved a myriad of ways of defending itself, actually. From being able to mutate its color, which I didn't have any clue until I read both these articles. And you actually showed me a couple other videos where it's just changing colors. Like, it went from looking like the sand to looking like another fish to looking like a second type of fish.
And then like a snake, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and then like a striped snake as it hid in a hole. It's just like, holy shit. Like, that was just fascinating to know that kind of thing is out there. Like, I mean, that's way cooler than, like, this killer squid, or, well, yes, yeah. Killer octopus thing.
Yeah, they're similar, I'll give you that, yeah. And they also shoot ink out, which I didn't realize that, for some reason I thought that just squids did that, but that's pretty cool too, I think.
Yeah, no, see, and it kind of, you were talking about the intelligence being in the arms. That's why it was always one of my favorite episodes of Iron Chef, the original in Japan. When they had squid, you always had to drink more because you had to drink for a live ingredient. And they were talking about how you can cut a limb off, even in, like, just doing their research, they cut a limb off. And one time, it walked its way over to food.
Right.
And curled around it and, like, pretended like it was going to feed itself into its feet.
Tried to move where the mouth would have been, yeah.
Yeah, and I just remember them on Iron Chef, like, they'd, like, sink it in, like, sometimes liquid nitrogen, or they'd just start beating the thing with, like, a rolling pin or some giant blunt object. And you could still see it, like, you could tell that it was kind of dead, but the arms are still moving around everywhere, because if they did it that way, I think they usually still dunked it in cold, like, ice bath water.
Yeah, I remember there being, like, a process for that. It would make sense that they're, because they can regenerate an arm, like, or whatever, after they
That's the one reason they could do that experiment. They're like, well, fuck it, it's gonna grow back, so who cares?
Yeah, that's just crazy.
Yeah, the whole regeneration thing is just wild, because we are not, like, you can get a fake leg these days that is pretty handy, but it's not growing back for you.
Right. No, like, you have to pay for that leg and, you know, go somewhere and get it done and wait for it. And yeah, I mean, to be able to grow your own
physical therapy.
Yeah, like, to be that's just a total replacement is just crazy. And yeah, I mean, like, the weird thing that I noticed about, to me, was that they were so solitary. Like, because if they basically either come across each other in the wild, they're either going to, like, eat each other or have sex with each other. And that's basically the only reasons that they would ever come together.
And the crazy, that was the other factoid that came up, the sex. They go mad after they have sex. They go lay the eggs, and both of them go completely crazy and die.
Right.
And they only, I think the maximum lifespan was 3 years, which is another thing that, like, I guess I had no expectation, but I don't expect something that large of a creature to live that short of a time period. Like, when I think of those shorts of time periods, I always think of, like, insects of that kind of... Yeah, I think of insects, or, not like...
Or like mice or something, maybe.
Yeah, maybe mice. You know, some smaller creature. Like, I expected, like, you know, I don't know, like, dog lifespan, 10, 20, something in right. that range.
Well, yeah, then that's the weird thing that I thought is, like... And I actually did a little more looking into it, because they said that when they... reproduce that they die afterwards, and like the male will die, like, just, they said they'll kind of like almost seem to get Alzheimer's or something too, like they won't feed themselves,
they just kind of starve themselves out,
and then they'll, like, you know, do weird stuff. Like the one they said jumped out of the tank and found a crack outside of the tank and hit into it. And dried up and died?
Yeah, no, because they were talking about the escapability of them. And, the problem was they tried to put them as, they called it a tea maze. And they'd have to fish them out. And some of them liked going into the tea maze, so they were cooperative about it. But other ones, they were a real pain in the ass. And, like, they mentioned that they used, like, they intentionally got themselves caught, but then used it as a springboard to get away from their would-be captor. And that's how it got out and, like, hit in a crack one time somewhere in the foundation. Like, yeah.
They can run along the floor out of the water, and they would have to chase them, which it just seems like so weird.
Yeah, I mean, they said that they were literally, like, not all of them, but some of them, they were chasing them like dogs, is the way they described it, which is kind of hilarious. Like, I mean, I just think about when my boxer, Cayenne, was younger, like, if he ever got outside, he'd start, like, I knew that he was joking, but he'd always, like, he'd let you get close enough, and then he'd run away. And he'd keep on doing that. And I just feel like I'd see a squid doing that, and it would kind of freak me out. Like the
octopus. Pets.
Octopus.
Yeah, I mean, that would be really weird to see a squid doing that, because I don't think they can walk around that way. But
No, they can't.
But I did a little extra research, and apparently...
Which is why you keep on remembering that it's an octopus.
Yeah, it's an octopus, not a squid. They have a some kind of, like, gland on their eye, they said. That scientists removed that gland. And, well, I guess first of all, I said that the male just dies, you know, right after having sex. But the female octopus actually lives for another month or so and, like, will stop feeding herself. She'll just lay the eggs somewhere safe and then stay there the whole time and guard them, but also, like, blow water over them and, like, keep them clean and keep them at the right temperature and not go anywhere. And then when it's time for them to be done or whatever, hatch, she'll, like, blow them all out so they can kind of... But they're, like, almost microscopic at that point. But there's, like, a lot of them get eaten, but only a few live enough, I guess, you know. But, and then after that, she'll, like, come out and not really feed, you know, not really eat and basically probably get, you know, killed by something. But, they found that when they took these glands from their, near their eyes, when they removed them, they found that the octopus is no longer, died after procreation, that they would go on living. So it seems like there's something that's being produced that basically kills them off after they have sex. Like, they're kind of programmed that way.
Oh. Yeah, which... And I don't think they're the only thing that is programmed that way.
No, that's true. Well, speaking of which... We're another article.
Yeah. It was... what the... I want to pull up the name of the animal. Oh, and we'll have to show them, because the escapability was kind of cool in the article. Yeah. But there was a visual of an octopus being stuffed inside of a jar. Like, it was in there all by its lonesome. And the guy put a screwed on a lid on top of it, and it unscrewed it. And it was... Wow, oh my gosh, that's a whole nother subject. But, okay, we're going to move on. We did 20 minutes for that. But I want to get
this... Yeah, but check out that article. It's really... really fascinating, I thought. You learn stuff about octopus like that you had no idea about.
Like I said, it was really fascinating to read about that. Like, I never expected that from an octopus. Like, it was really cool.
So, yeah, we were...
To
segue from mollusks to marsupials...
Yeah, it was on Wired.com, this second article that Ken sent me. It was about a marsupial that... and I want to get these time frames right, because it would do an injustice to... Because the name of the article is Absurd Creature of the Week.
It must be a regular column or something.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to have a name for it, so...
Right.
Okay, it's called the Antichinus. It's a hyperactive marsupial that sprints around mating almost nonstop for an exhausting 3 weeks.
Woo, with spring break, y'all,
lasting as long as 14 hours. Now, I am definitely man enough to admit that I have never gone 14 straight hours while having sex.
Wait, did you say you have not?
I have not gone 14 straight hours having sex. Nor have I even gone 3 consecutive weeks having sex once every day of the week.
Right. Let alone for 24 hours a day for 3 weeks. Because, I mean, it said in the article, basically, that they will not do anything else but have sex for that time. Like, they're not eating... I don't know if they're sleeping.
No, it does not sound like they sleep. Like, it sounds like they go from one woman to the next. Like, they're just kind of banging away. Like, they didn't...
They said that at one point, like, the researcher stooped down to pick them up, and, like, they did not stop going at it while he was lifting them up and looking at them. So, apparently, yeah, that's really all they're into.
Yeah, no, they're really into the sex thing. And then, as you're talking about dying after sex, these things, the males die after sex. The women do not. The females, I think it's another case where the females last, I think it was 3 years.
Yeah, they did say 3 years in this article, although I... also did a little more research, and
always doing there's more research.
Naked mole rat there. Wait, no, is that that?
Yeah, no, it's that's a picture of it there, the Antichinus.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it looks like a cross between a mouse and a rat. Like, it's looks like it's larger than a mouse and smaller than a rat.
And it has some kind of little pouch.
Rats are pretty honking big.
Somewhere that it. I guess it's a little mini pouch on this guy that she keeps the little babies in. But yeah, so but the females oftentimes die after raising the kids, I guess.
Yeah, no, they don't get a whole lot of thanks either.
Yeah.
Much like the mom for the octopi.
Yeah.
So,
it's kind of like a weird strategy, really. Like, that's what they're going to go for. Like, I guess they had some reason. I mean, it must be working for them, right? I mean, they're still around.
I guess this one didn't really answer the question of how long they've been around, because the octopi had been around for quite some time period.
Right.
But I'm not sure that they said how long this was around.
Mammals, I'm not sure. I mean, probably at least after the dinosaurs, I would imagine. So that was, what, 65 million years ago? So we're talking somewhere in that area. Mammals are fairly new, I would say.
Yeah.
But,
Oh, and that picture of the little babies is just kind of weird and freaky.
Yeah, I don't think I looked at all these pictures. I was looking on... I read this one on my phone, and it... these pictures were not in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but, that is... I mean, it just looks like a little mouse, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it doesn't look any different than that. But that is one hell of a sex rampage to go on.
Yeah, and they said before that like, the men... Or, yeah, the men. The male little mouse will, binge eat. But it all goes towards producing sperm, apparently.
Yeah, no, the bigger the better, as nature tends to go. But again, like, they mentioned that all the females carried multiple kids. Like, it wasn't just, like, a one-donor father. Like, the stronger sperm did tend to survive more, was at least what they seemed to imply.
Right.
But it wasn't the only sperm that was around, because, you know...
It's a free-for-all, basically.
Yeah, there were a lot of eggs to be fertilized here.
And then basically only the strong babies will survive, because she'll have more babies than she'll have teats
to feed them.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, which is kind of crazy, too. It's just like, okay, then why the fuck did nature decide that you needed to have more kids than you could feed?
Yeah, I mean, that's, again, it just seems like a weird
Yeah, oh, and I did choice. Not watch this video earlier today.
But, yeah, they basically... they said that they're basically not into anything else. They don't eat during this time. Maybe they sleep. But, like, their immune system shut down. Like, everything goes into getting it on. And they'll get, like, sores that will not heal because they can't heal themselves.
Yeah, and all energies literally are transferred into having sex. Like, it is, and everything is shut down. Except for the drive to have sex.
Right.
Like, that's just... pretty crazy to think of it that way. And I don't know. I don't see that...
Yeah, I mean, I think...
I don't see that mouse having enough sex there. I already saw a little bit of sex, but...
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really as hot as I was hoping for either. I mean, I know what you mean. Well, I didn't want it to slow down our... I heard the fans start ramping up. I didn't want it.
You don't need to say that part out loud.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can cut this. What are we at here? All right. So, yeah, I mean, pretty weird stuff there.
Yeah. And equally as weird, I guess, are the people that live in Japan.
Okay, your segues, they're dipping a little bit here.
They're dipping?
Yeah. I mean, you came out strong with your segues. Mm. That first one, you knocked it out of the park. This one, I'm going to say that was a double.
Oh, okay, I'll take a double.
Okay.
No,
it was still great.
Well, the Japanese, I have enjoyed their game shows. As I already mentioned, Iron Chef, loved it. Had a drinking game to it. I'm trying to think of what, because it became whatever's on ABC now. What was the name of the what about the oh did they pick him?
I think so, yeah.
So we're watching the draft online, and Johnny Manziel does not look thrilled, as someone puts in there. So we're kind of watching the draft picks come in here for the NFL draft, and it appears as if Johnny Manziel just got drafted by the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. We're, this is live history here, people. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how, you know, best of luck to Johnny Football. I think he'll need it. What were we talking about?
Crazy game shows.
Yes.
In Japan. And I was trying to think of what that one was where people could, like, go running into plywood. It was the kamikaze game. It was on Spike TV.
Okay. Yeah, that was like somebody's mansion or something like that, or somebody's castle, maybe.
Right. And yeah. I forget. They Americanized the name, and I can't remember what it is offhand.
Okay, yeah.
But, yeah, no, they have all these kind of crazy game shows, and this really wasn't a game show, although it was some type of an event at a minimum.
Right, it was a TV production of some kind, yeah.
Yeah, and for some reason...
Somebody asked themselves the question in Japan.
Why shouldn't we have 3 Olympic fencers?
Okay, you got me.
3 Olympic fencers.
Let's make this happen.
Take on
50... Oh, wait, there's more.
We're going to have them take on 50 untrained fencers.
Untrained? You mean like they've never fenced before?
That is at least what the name of the YouTube page says.
All right.
But I've got to admit, I question the veracity of that claim.
Yeah, I did not do research on this one, really. I just kind of thought it is what it is. Let's just, talk about it.
It is thoroughly worth enjoying.
So,
but as usual with any Japanese game that I've seen, and I remember all those ones that we watched up at your parents' cabin when Dave,
my friend Dave,
came back from his buddy Dave taught English in Japan
for 2 years after college.
Yeah, and he came back one year with several ridiculous video cassettes of Japanese game shows.
Right, and this was before YouTube, so like we hadn't really been. It's not like we just hadn't been exposed to this sort of thing before. Like we didn't realize how this was the first like crazy Japanese TV thing that I've come across.
No, we were just getting beyond dial up at that point, so. But, yeah, I remember the one where you and a teammate, there was one person that had to answer questions, and there was another person who was in the arms of a giant sumo wrestler with your legs spread, and you were wearing, like, the sumo garb.
Right, the little diaper thing, whatever, loincloth, yeah.
Right, and every time that your friend answered a question wrong... You and your crotch that was directly aimed at his face got closer to you.
Right. I mean, it was like a mechanized slide or something that they were on, right?
Yeah, it was kind of like if you watch Price is Right and the yodeler going up the price ramp. And it kind of has like each station that it can stop at. And it stopped after one station every time. So it was just like one step forward.
Yeah, that's like some demented yodeler. except it's going down the hill, right?
Yeah, and it's going down the hill and towards...
And instead of a yodeler, it's there is another man's... some dude's taint.
Yeah, and then when you ultimately fail at the game, your buddy's crotch is then rubbed in your face.
Yeah. Like, what? How did that happen? Was that also mechanized?
The sumo wrestler was. It was mechanized. So it just kind of went up and down. Like, it wasn't anything complex, mind you.
No.
Like, it just kind of had stirrups, like, almost like, at least I'm imagining a woman at a gynecologist.
Something like that, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, the sumo wrestler was kind of, that's how it held your legs. And it's just like, why do you... sign up for that. Like, right.
What's the prize, you know?
Yeah, like, I don't know if you can talk me into that prize. Like, I don't care what the prize... Like, that prize has got to be pretty big for you to talk me into it.
Yeah, like, I don't even think back in college we would do that. If, like, we were, you know, at Kent State for some new year, and there was a Japanese game show being recorded, and they picked us, you know, they said we could be on it. I don't know. Maybe they don't tell them what they're getting into until they're like there.
I don't know. Like, I mean, that's the only way that they can do that.
Yeah.
In my estimation. Like, but
then their show is kind of shot after one episode because then people realize what it is and they're like, oh, shit. No,
fuck you.
Well, anyway, this one was a little bit different than that.
Yeah, no, but it still, in a creative way, was also equally as... who the fuck thinks this up? Right. And, okay, so we have the three Olympic fencers against 50 untrained fencers. Well, again, I'm going to go back to my point. Some of those 50 people looked fairly well-trained at fencing. Like, if you gave me one of those... Oh, and I guess we should set it up, and I'm sure we'll link to the clip. But they just had a target on their chest.
Yeah, it looked like a balloon.
Yeah, it looked like a balloon or maybe like a light, hard shell. And you just kind of tap it to break it.
Right, but it was within this tube, or a short squat tube, that kind of protected it from the sides. So you had a thrust... to really be able to poke it. So there was 50 of these quote-unquote untrained... I think I saw novice fencers, but I don't know. They might have been untrained. They might have been novice. People, let us know. Somebody out there.
Yeah, no. I don't know too many professional fencers, so I mean, the fact that you have three Olympic fencers
let me stop you there. Strange. You can never know too many professional fencers. Let me just say that. First of all.
Well, you know what? You have not introduced the poll for this week, and I think that should be the poll for the week.
Can you know too many professional fencers?
Yes or no.
Yes or no. Let's keep it simple. Just yes or no. We don't need an all of the above there. Yes or no, we'll do it. All right. So these fencers, basically, I mean, what did you let's see. What did you expect to see happen?
Well, the first thing that I thought, and again, like, it's really amusing to watch this thing go down, but it's one of those, it's almost a more realistic movie scene in mm-hmm. some ways. Like,
because that's good, because it was like a Three Musketeers kind of thing, really. There's three of these guys, and they're fighting against, like, a small, well, I don't know, a force, at least, of people.
Yeah, I mean, it's 50 against 3, so, I mean, you know, it's more than 10-to-1 odds there.
Right.
So you do, but with the way the setup goes, I think in some ways it quote unquote favors the three.
Right.
Because you are aiming at a target and only so many people can come at you to hit this smallish target.
Right.
So you can, they did a good job of protecting themselves.
Yes, everywhere.
Okay. Yeah, it was easy for them to protect themselves for a while. Yeah,
and I think it favored skill because you had to aim for a small target. if it was like a real fight, I mean, people would be able to just kind of hack and slash and...
Yeah, and just do damage on the arms.
Yeah, or the leg, you know. If you slice somebody's leg and they can't run around, then it's going to be a lot easier to take them down. So, yeah, this was not a real quote-unquote situation, I guess, if you were going to have a real sword fight. But it was still interesting. I liked the question it was asking. I feel like this is in direct opposition to last week's third topic, the beer mile.
Oh.
Like, that is something that no one needs to ever do, let alone try to, like, be the one who breaks the record to do it under 5 minutes. This, on the other hand, like, I'm glad that somebody did it. Like, I was really curious.
Yeah, like, I'd almost be fascinated to see similar things like it, because to watch it go down was kind of interesting, because I don't think we're gonna... Well, yeah, I think we should spoil it, shouldn't we?
I guess so.
Because, yeah. I mean, it was part of the observation that at least I had. Because it was interesting that they got down to 9-on-3, but...
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it was 9-on-3.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And wow. Then 9-on-2, and then 6-on-1.
Right. Yeah, so it's like the three musketeers were, like, taking people down left and right when there was a lot of people there. When there's a lot of enemies, right?
Yeah. So,
I don't know if that meant that, like, the good, or the people who were the best fencers were able to, like, hang on the longest. Or maybe they were able to work together better. Or maybe, you know, well, for sure, the three musketeers were getting tired from having to fight off so many people.
That was huge. Like, and I think that's one thing that in the movies that I think is the biggest exaggeration when they take on, like, this giant force.
Right.
Is the amount of exhaustion. Like, even if you did, and these guys did a pretty good job of whittling it down, you just get tired at some point. Like, even though they couldn't come at them all at one time because of that smaller target.
Yeah.
It also allows some people to just kind of sit back and not really do too much either. Like,
right.
They kind of followed them around, but they didn't really, like, run after anybody. Like, they were kind of conserving their energy. So, I mean, it's easier if you're a little bit fresher to catch someone off guard than if you're already getting tired.
And I wonder, too, I mean, this was a Japanese group of people doing this. Like, if this were to happen in America, do you think, like, the mob would just sort of rush them all at once? Because they were kind of being... at the beginning, they were not really going after them at all. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. Like, and I think that's why they got the early jump, is that people seemed a little tentative about coming to them, because there wasn't that much territory to try and fight from higher ground. Like, it was only 3 steps.
Yeah, it was. It looked like some kind of it was some kind of courtyard, like in front of an office building or something like that. That there was some steps there, and a lot of pavement, which appeared to be slippery, from what I could tell. It must have rained because they were, like, sliding.
Yeah, people were sliding all over the place.
Which
so
also made it interesting, but.
Yeah, that does that does add an element to the proceedings, but
yeah, for whatever reason, so, like, I don't know if it was, like, you know, partially getting tired, and maybe some of the smarter fencers hanging back until the end. The tide kind of turns. Well, yeah, the first of the expert fencers to go out, he kind of, like,
I think he made a poor decision because,
yeah,
he was tired. Like, He either got talked into, he got goaded into attacking, or he just made a rash decision, like, oh, I can get this guy, and he kind of caught, got caught.
Yeah,
by like, a guy who was nearby.
Yeah, so it was like another guy kind of like jabbed him while he was going after someone else. So it started like the dynamic really shifted there. At the beginning, it really felt like the Musketeers were just sort of like taking people out left and right, and there was not much they could do about it. But you know, probably from being tired, and you know, they were starting to have trouble there at the end.
Yeah, no, they just gassed out, I think, was the biggest problem that they ended up having. Like, it just got down to that low. The one guy makes a bad decision, the one guy just was kind of slow. And, yeah. Well, I just think the last two guys were kind of slow.
Right.
You know, they just ran out of energy. I mean, you could just see it in their faces, too. They're just drenched in sweat, they're gasping for air.
So, yeah, it came down to 2-1, I think, for the last matchup. Or was it 3-1? When, Yeah, the mob ends up winning. After suffering heavy losses, though. We'll say that. The mob, you know, the Musketeers definitely made them pay a price for taking them down.
But, yeah, no, it ultimately it ended up like the 300. They were overwhelmed by sheer force.
Right. You know, they had piled a body up of their slain enemies in front of them.
But, yeah.
They still eventually just, you know, mobbed them over.
Yep, the Spartan king could only hold them off for so long. You need the Athenians to win the battle.
Yeah, I guess 300, you know, it's kind of similar there.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, I don't know if those were the same odds. I don't know if that's how they came up with the odds. Like, they did a small randomized version of the odds for 300.
Yeah.
Because that was the other thing, is it was all in Japanese. There was no subtitles to it. So you couldn't pick anything up from it at all.
Yeah, unless you speak Japanese, I guess, then, you know. But we do not, so.
Yeah, no, we do not have Dave with us to translate for us.
Oh, I'm sure he doesn't remember too much at this point. But, yeah, so that was pretty fun there. Pretty fun little video. We'll put a link to it
on our page. And that was the last topic of the night, unless you want to, you know, talk over the Steelers draft pick of Ryan Shazier, linebacker from Ohio State University. Or the Ohio State University.
Thank you. I don't know. I mean, I guess it is interesting. The guys from Ohio going to Pennsylvania kind of fits into our podcast here. I don't know.
Yes, it does.
The Steelers can be very different this year, so we'll just have to see how it goes, I guess.
Yep, yeah. They didn't get the wide receiver or the corner that everyone seemed to think that they were gunning for, so we shall see what happens. It'll be interesting, and as usual, if you want to find us at DeFrango11, at StuntDusty, at Gozer33, at Granny Maze. And did I say at Stunt Granny already?
Yes, you did.
Okie dokie. Facebook, our page, and yeah, that's all the social media for us. I believe my Sippy Time beer for this week is sitting in my refrigerator, which awaits. And it is Rivertown, which is out of Cincinnati. It's a blonde wit beer. I will look forward to it when I get home.
Sweet. All right, have a great week, everybody.